Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I am Lauren Williams, one of the consultants at Student Loan Planner. And today I am joined by Sim Twilliger and James Mombella, our new consultant. So everybody give them a hand clap if you're driving in your car, you're walking while listening to this podcast. We've gotten two new consultants at Student Loan Planner, and we're so excited to have them on the team. James and Sim, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Excited to be here.
All right. Well, today's all about getting to know you. So James, why don't you start by just kind of giving us a rundown and tell us a little bit about where you're from and, you know, what you're into now.
All right. Well, I'm from Washington, D.C., and that's where I was born and raised. I went to UNC Chapel Hill, and now I live in Durham, North Carolina, right on the border of Durham and Chapel Hill.
So that's super cool. You're in North Carolina just like Travis is. Did you become a member of the Student Loan Planner team by running into Travis in a coffee shop somewhere?
No, actually, it was a little more surprising than that, in that my wife is subscribed to his emails. She forwarded one to me that she thought was interesting relating to her student loan situation. And I just happened to see in the signature line that his address was in Chapel Hill. And I was like, no way. How long has this been the case? And that happened right before you all were hiring. So it just really worked out in that when I applied and you saw I was local, then we went and grabbed lunch.
That is really, really cool. Sim, how did you come to learn about Student Loan Planner and decide that you wanted to participate in being a part of the Student Loan Planner team?
Yeah, so I am originally from Philadelphia. I am from a nice Jewish immigrant family. Education was always very emphasized at home. I ended up going to the University of Pennsylvania for college, which totally kicked my butt. It was a really difficult experience, but it really stretched me in ways that I couldn't imagine. And after college, I started working for the head of the financial aid office, where I kind of got my first exposure into student loans and financial aid. You know, I was noticing that a lot of people were graduating with student loan debt. Despite the university that I went to, they actually had a what they call a no loan financial aid policy, meaning that once they calculated your expected family contribution, whatever the difference is between that and the sticker price, they actually just gave to you as a grant. Having said that, though, for a lot of people, you know, what the school calculates versus what you can actually afford to pay sometimes can be very different. I was also someone who was very afraid to take out student loans, and we'll probably talk about that at some point. But I decided that that was an area that I wanted to work in. I really wanted to help people feel empowered to, you know, just crush their student loans and not feel like it was something that needed to hold them back in life. And so I did take an unconventional path, maybe, or I guess not that unconventional. I decided to become a financial planner. But in that sense, you're kind of working in all areas of finance and not just student loans. You know, during the pandemic, decided to take a sabbatical. So I quit my job that I love. And then I found out that Student Loan Planner was hiring. And I was like, oh, shoot, I guess I'm not taking a sabbatical after all. And, you know, I just reached out to you guys, love the team, and I'm so excited about the work that we're doing.
Sim, you bring up a really good point about this idea that a lot of people were hit by the pandemic and it's affected everyone differently. You mentioned that you really love the job that you decided to take a sabbatical from. And now that you're doing this other thing in the form of student loan planning, it's like, oh, I maybe don't want a job, but maybe I do want something. So can you tell us a little bit more about the reason you decided to maybe take a sabbatical, but then immediately started to do something else?
Yeah, I am a big follower of Brené Brown, and I totally believe in her concept of vulnerability. So
I love Brené Brown, too.
You do? So then you'll appreciate, I'm probably going to overshare with our listeners today, but I just really believe in being like very authentic about my story. And so during the pandemic, unfortunately, my husband and I, we went through 3 miscarriages, which was very difficult, not just emotionally, but physically as well. You know, the team that I was a part of, they were very supportive of me and what I went through. And I kind of just decided to take a break just so I could heal up kind of holistically. And when I saw the job posting for Student Loan Planner, I thought, hey, this is actually like why I became a financial planner. This is really meaningful for me. I can do this work part-time and I can do some, I basically do like a part-time sabbatical and focus on some of my personal goals as well. And I feel like that's kind of the best of everything.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point about, you know, the idea that Student Loan Planner is very flexible. So we are all part-time with Student Loan Planner and have outside things that we're interested in. So it's great that you were able to find this and have the flexibility that you need in addition to being able to grow in this area that you really love. So I'm glad that you were able to find something that can keep you going, keep your mind going, but also, like you said, provide that flexibility. And thank you for being so transparent about the tough things that life brings us, because I think it happens for everyone, you know, tough times in life, but we're not always sharing about it. We're just like, okay, life is okay. Everything's great over here. No worries.
But yeah, it's so easy just to like go on Instagram and see like, you know, picture perfect life, because we're just putting our best selves out there. And I feel like with the pandemic, it almost gave us kind of collective permission to not be okay together.
Yes, I love it. James, you mentioned that an email was the thing that got the ball rolling for you to learn more about Student Loan Planner and the job opportunity. But why did you choose to join the financial industry in general?
Well, I first became passionate about personal finance during my senior year in college, because the previous summer I had an internship and happened to meet someone who, to this day, I still consider a friend and mentor, who was working full time at the place I interned. And he sort of took me under his wing and taught me a lot about personal finance. And he recommended this book called The Five Lessons a Millionaire Taught Me About Life and Wealth. In fact, I have the book right here. It's by Richard Paul Evans. I always forget who the author is. That book just laid out a lot of the basics, you know, budgeting, not getting into debt, saving money, investing for the long term, these basic aspects of financial literacy. And I was just shocked that I had never learned that up to that point in my life. And I felt like this was very much part of the key to a happy and successful life. So I started immediately implementing those principles, and I saw some immediate benefits from implementing those principles. So my first year working, you know, I had a budget that I was following, and it allowed me to save money while still enjoying life and spending money on the things that were important to me. Like, I was living in Chicago at the time, so I went out to nice restaurants and went out every weekend and toured the city and those types of things. Then once I realized that my first job out of college wasn't for me, I was working in claims at an insurance company. I was able to leave and not worry about it because I had money saved. That gave me a lot of freedom to just be able to take some time and decide what I wanted to do next. And I thought about how beneficial these financial literacy principles were for me. And I noticed that other people just weren't aware of these things, like the other people in my training class. And I thought, well, why don't I make a living teaching these things to other people? I'm going to be learning it for myself anyway. So maybe I'll become a financial planner. And that's how that went down.
That's really interesting. And I think you bring up a really good point about the idea of like financial literacy and how it is so powerful. You know, we're huge on sharing as many financial literacy tips as we can in the student loan planner world, because, you know, many people come to us and be like, I'm super stressed out about my student loans, which I agree, they are indeed stressful, but we can't look at our finances in a silo. And so part of our consultation process is, you know, we ask things about like how much your mortgage or your rent is and how much your car is, your car payment is, you know, in addition to your student loan information and payment information, you know, we gather this other information so that we can really take a full look at your picture and get a good understanding of how can we best help you in your overall scope to be better at your finances. And I think that's one of the really cool things about this work is that financial literacy is interwoven in any aspect of finances, especially student loan planning. So
One thing I'll add is growing up, I experienced financial instability in that my parents' income rose throughout my childhood, but it just seemed like as it went up, it got spent and it wasn't always around when we needed it most. So I felt what financial instability was like, and I knew I wanted to do things differently, but I didn't know how. And so learning financial literacy, that's when I was like, oh, this is how to live differently. This is how to to have more peace of mind in life.
Yeah. And James, that really resonates for me as well, because, you know, like I mentioned, I grew up in an immigrant family. And so they were very hardworking. I always had everything I needed, not necessarily everything that I always wanted. But I knew that by the time I was going to college, I was pretty much going to be on my own. You know, there wasn't going to be money for college and whatever else I needed during that time. I was on my own at that point. And no one by then had taught me anything about financial literacy. I didn't know how to budget. And I remember there was like one moment my junior year of college, I had $4 in my bank account. And that was like a real low point for me, also by being surrounded by a lot of, I guess, well-to-do or upper middle class students. And I was totally a fish out of water. And that was also another like pivotal moment for me, when I guess you can call it like a light bulb moment, where I was like, you know, something has to change. And I basically just started Googling, and I taught myself a little bit about how to budget. And even today, you know, I still work out of my little Excel sheet. I know there's a lot of great programs out there and websites to help people budget, but I'm a little bit old school like that. I just love using my little Excel sheet.
I think that's super cool. And I think the big thing that we always try to drill down on is that there's no one way to get to where you want to go. You know, with financial planning, it's always like, give me the black and white answer, because it's a mathematical sort of profession. But also there is no black and white, because there's so much of life that is happening. So you just mentioned, Sim, you use a spreadsheet. I like an app called You Need a Budget. The budget is not meant to imprison you, which is what so many people think, is like the budget actually gives you freedom. And I think that's what you just hit on, James, was like you were in Chicago, you were able to go out and eat on the weekends, have fun. By simply organizing your finances, you actually get a lot of freedom, as opposed to being restricted in the way that sometimes the narrative says that budgeting does for everybody. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what about family hobbies? What about
that? Okay, so during the pandemic, we couldn't go out, and my husband and I were very compliant. And so we did what probably most Americans did, which was watch Netflix and Hulu. But like most married people, we could not agree on anything. I wanted comedy, something lighthearted, you know, kind of just unplugged from the world. My husband loves dramas, you know, Breaking Bad, things that have like maybe a very interesting storyline, but are super intense. And so after a little trial and error, we actually found one genre, exactly one genre that we could both agree on. And that was trashy reality TV, because it had the best of both worlds for both of us. And so we ended up watching like Are You the One?, Too Hot to Handle, Love is Blind. Like it has, you know, the lighthearted for me, it has some drama for him. And, you know, that worked for us.
Trashy reality TV. So something new that you learned. I bet there's a lot of people out there that are just like, yes, that is my show. I love it too.
Yes.
Like the dirty little secret.
It is a dirty little secret. And I call it like popcorn for the mind, you know, junk food. I'm like, I was kind of judging myself. I'm like, why am I watching this? And then I'll be getting ready for bed and I'll just look at my husband and be like, can you believe what Chloe said?
Super cool. James, what are you into? What kind of hobbies do you have?
Well, my wife and I and our dog, we love to hike and generally be outdoors. We're going to on a beach trip this weekend. We're going to be at the beach for the weekend now that it's getting warmer. So we love being outside, going to state parks and those sort of things, just being in nature and unplugging that way. I like to play basketball. I play video games every now and then. And lately I've got into strength training, into weightlifting. So I'm doing that 3 days a week. And I'm a big fan of that because it really helps me lower stress and feel sharp mentally after my workout. I just feel like I can take on the world. Helps me sleep better. And of course, strengthening your muscles has all kinds of health benefits for navigating everyday life. I've had these back problems that have dogged me for years, and I'm hoping that by strengthening my back, I won't have as many back problems. So important hobby for me.
Let me piggyback off of what James said, because I don't want to give our listeners the impression that I only watch TV. I also enjoy hiking. I do walk every day, just very gentle walking, about 30 minutes. That's something I do with my husband. On my own, I like doing yoga. There's a great YouTube channel called Yoga with Adrian. I try to do that a few times a week. Just very gentle movements and focus on breathing. And at first when I started, I thought it was kind of trite. I'm like, okay, great. We're going to focus on breathing. And I'm like, oh, a lot of us like actually don't know how to breathe correctly, and just to take that time. And It's a form of meditation, really. I'm also a very avid reader. I don't know if you guys know the website Goodreads. It's kind of like a social media for books, but you get to kind of set a reading challenge for every year. And so for 2022, my reading challenge goal is to hit 50 books for the year.
Ooh, 50 books. Yeah, that's a good bit. Are you making progress? What number are you on right now?
I just finished number 9, so I am making progress. I don't know if I will be able to continue at this pace. I might have to slow down, especially during the summer when the weather's nice. I'm going to be going outside more. But yeah, so far, so good.
James, what is your video game of choice?
Video game of choice. It'd have to be Madden, because I'm a big fan of the NFL, and I like playing the video game version of that. And football is really strategic. And so I just like how the video games allow me to get really strategic with the football game plan and things like that.
I love it. And what are you doing outside of your time with SLP? Like we mentioned that everybody is part-time. Do you have something you're doing for additional income, or are you also taking some time and just working part-time with SLP? What are you up to?
Well, similar to Sim, which is funny, I've noticed a lot of similarities when it comes to growing up, experience with money and the hiking and the not being able to decide what to watch with your spouse. To add to those similarities, I actually went through my own rough patch in life. I would call it a period of mental health struggles between 2019 and 2021. It was almost all related to my career. It started with my career and bled into other areas of life. And when I say started with my career, it was difficulties I was encountering with my career. Like I explained earlier, I'm really passionate about helping people experience the same sort of freedom and confidence that I gained from financial planning, that when I felt like it was really difficult for me to do that, to find clients, to work in a company that was right for me, then that's what started the mental health struggles. And to add on to that, I was working a lot of hours those 2 years from trying to reach those goals and get those clients and build the sort of client base that I wanted. And so in 2021, I was actually working full time for a company. It was just a lot of hours. I kept being told that it would get better and it would get better and it would get better. And then it'll get better in February. It'll get better in April. And then it'll get better in October. And so in the summer, I was trying to push till October. And then I just finally hit a wall and said, I can't do this anymore. And so I set boundaries with my work schedule and said, yeah, I'm done at this time. Whatever doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. So I got fired for that. Yeah.
I love that. I'm so proud of you for setting boundaries. I can tell you like Brené Brown too.
Yes.
You're on point.
Yes, absolutely. I just decided, you know, I am enough. I don't have to completely disregard my personal needs in order to have the type of job I want. I should be able to have the type of job I want without just completely neglecting my personal needs and well-being. So yes, I was fired. That was at the end of August, actually a couple of days before my birthday, funny enough. So I had some time to decide, well, what am I going to do next? First, I took some time to just do nothing for like a month and finally recover from all the, you know, burnout and chronic stress. Once I was in a space of feeling a lot better, I said, well, what am I going to do now? Am I going to try to find another job? And eventually I decided, you know what, I'm going to start my own business. And like I said, I'd spent so many years trying to work at another company and do things my way. And that's what led to all my struggles in the first place. And so I said, well, why don't I just start my own business so that I can actually do things my way and put myself first and yeah, build a business that really serves my needs in addition to serving clients the way I want. So as part of that decision, I looked at my financial situation in a real honest way and said, you know, if I'm not going to have an income, it'd really be good for me to have a second source of income while I'm building the business. So that way I don't have a whole lot of pressure to bring on clients right away. And my wife and I don't have to live in scarcity, which is also just not good mentally. So I had been looking for some part-time positions. And that's when my wife received an email from Travis saying that you all were hiring, and she forwarded it to me. And I was like, oh, this is perfect.
I love it.
I actually have a question for James. I'm just curious, with the practice that you're building, do you have like a niche or a particular client focus?
Yes. My client focus is associate attorneys at big law firms.
I love it. I also love working with lawyers in my company. It is not my actual niche, but about a third of my clients are lawyers. So I think it's like a faux niche for me. So we can definitely chop it up about being able to serve lawyers well. I think it's also kind of serendipitous that your wife received that email just as like kind of all these things were unfolding. And I really appreciate you sharing about, like, you know, the mental health aspect of things, because I think often it's hard, you know, it's become definitely more of a conversation since COVID and, you know, just the events in general of the last couple of years. But what we don't see a lot of is men talking about mental health and how important it is, and especially around jobs. You know, so many people listening to this podcast have tons of student loan debt and they feel like it's crippling them. They're unhappy in their work. And they're just like, I have to keep doing this job because I went to school and got this bazillion dollars of, you know, student loan debt to be able to earn this degree, to be able to work in this profession. And now more than ever, I want to tell people, like, absolutely not. You don't have to stay in a job that is not serving you, that is not great for your boundaries, not great for your work-life balance. And definitely you don't have to do it because of your student loan debt. That's why having a plan for them, there's so many different options out there. From income-driven repayment plans to, you know, refinancing over a period of time that's going to be okay for you and your monthly budget. You can change careers. You can go to something that makes a lot less money than whatever it was that you earned that degree for. But I think it's time that we start prioritizing our happiness and that you get financially organized to be able to do that, which is another thing you brought up, James. It's like, hey, I'm going to go do this other thing, but I also want to make sure that I get my financial house in order before I do that. You know, I also, you know, lined up a side hustle so we will have some income and it's not creating a bunch of stress for our household. You can pivot. You can pivot better when you have a plan, but you absolutely don't need to stay where you are if you're not happy.
Absolutely, Lauren. I mean, I like what you said about mental health, and I think that our generation is talking more about it. And mm-hmm. The reality is, what I realize is we only have one life. I mean, really think about that. We get one shot at this. And when I'm 80 years old, I don't want to look back and say, man, I spent so much of the prime of my life when I was healthy and energetic and had so much potential. I spent so much of it just slaving for a job that really was not serving my needs. If there was something I could have done about it, if there was some way I could have, like you said, got my financial house in order to give me that freedom, why wouldn't I try to do that? You know, I hope as many of our listeners as possible are hearing that and thinking about ways that they can do that for themselves.
Yeah, James, I totally agree with that idea that we only get one shot at this. And that was part of my thought process with the sabbatical. You know, I'm only 30 years old. And when I told my friends that I'm taking a sabbatical, they looked at me like I'm Medusa, like I just had snakes around my head. Like, you're doing what? I'm like, but I don't want to wait until I'm 50 and, you know, who knows what my health is going to be like then? Who knows if I'm going to, you know, have bad joints and I won't be able to enjoy my sabbatical then? Like, I want to do it while I'm young and sharp.
Absolutely.
So as we head toward wrapping up, why don't you guys share a little bit about what you're most excited about as you get ready to start taking consultations and start helping people organize their student loans?
I love when someone walks away from a conversation with me feeling empowered. I've seen, you know, just from watching, you know, some of the other consultants' work, what I've really enjoyed is the surprise that some of our clients have had in realizing that they have options and that they're not stuck in whatever sense stuck means for them, whether, like we were talking about, whether it be with job or with a budget, that they have options that they didn't know about with their student loans. I love being an educator and coming alongside someone in their journey. And I'm just so glad that I get to do that.
Yeah, it's super duper rewarding to have 60 minutes with someone and it literally be life-changing. And I remember coming on and, you know, kind of being a deer in headlights and be like, how am I supposed to do all of this stuff in 60 minutes? Like, it's impossible. And we get it all the time via email. People are just like, this is a lot of money to pay for 60 minutes. Are you sure you're going to be able to help me? And, you know, we're now close to like 8,000 consultations where we've been doing 60 minutes and doing just that, changing lives. We have a great process. We're super efficient. But also just, you know, what can come of people being able to share financially what's going on and us having expertise allows us to be able to move through a situation where, like, literally, you know, maybe sometimes even 45 minutes into it, people are just like, oh my goodness, this has forever changed the way that I think about money. And it is an incredibly rewarding feeling. And I look forward to you all both being able to have that. James, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to helping people who have been putting off certain life moves that they're trying to make, whether it's starting a family or buying a house or starting a business because of their student loans. And like you said, that's 60 minutes being able to drill down on what they need to do so that they instantly feel like they can pursue what they want in life. And I identify with that personally because I actually didn't have student loans. I mean, I had some student loans myself, but it was only like 12 grand or so. So I paid it off pretty quickly after college. But what actually got me into student loans was my wife, who has about 70 grand of student loans. And so when I met her, that was something that was a big deal for her. And she felt it was a weight that she was just pulling through life. And so a couple years after meeting her, when we were still dating, that's when I went through the CFP, the Certified Financial Planner program. And there's a little bit in there about student loans, but it wasn't until after finishing that, that I realized it really doesn't teach near the depth of student loans that's needed to actually help a client make decisions. That's when I was trying to figure out, well, usually I'm the one who can just help her and guide our household finances. But once I realized I didn't have the tools, I said, well, what can I do about it now? I happened to learn about Travis because he was being interviewed on the podcast of a financial advisor who I was following at the time. And so that's when I first reached out to you all in 2019, and you all did a student loan plan for my wife. And it was just such an eye-opening experience that that's when I realized really how complex and how many opportunities, how many planning opportunities there are around student loans. Because my wife is pursuing the PSLF path. So being able to really solidify that path to forgiveness and understand exactly when that will happen and how we can actually get that for all of her loans has really helped us out in being more confident in planning to start a family and things like that. So I'm looking forward to helping provide that same experience for other clients.
Yeah. And it's so cool because I actually got to do that consultation for you and your wife. And at the time, Megan was our new consultant. She was listening in on that call. So to see things come full circle and now see you as part of the student loan planner team is pretty dope. And you're right. We have tons and tons of credentials. Everybody is either a CSLP, a CFP, a CFA. I know I'm throwing lots of alphabet soup at you all, but we've got lots of education around how to be able to help people with their finances. But that expertise related to student loans is something that, like you said, sometimes escapes people if they don't decide to dive into this. And the CSLP is that one certification that allows people to be able to, you know, get that information, understand it well, become experts. And our fearless leader, Travis, is actually in the midst of taking his CFP. He is already a CFA. So, yeah. We've got tons of knowledge, tons of expertise over here as Student Loan Planner, and everybody is super duper excited to help you all figure out your student loan situation.
You know, Lauren, it's funny. You talked about things going full circle. It's really crazy how things have lined up. If you just start with me happening to learn about Travis, he was being interviewed on Mary Beth Storjahan's show. I think you were on there too.
Mm-hmm.
So just happening to hear about him from that, you know, bringing my wife to do the consultation with you all, that got her on the email list. And actually, I was on the email list too, but just I was so busy with my last job. I actually removed myself from the email list because I said, you know, I just have to try to get a little more focused and essential with the things that are taking my attention because I need to really conserve the energy that I have. But I'm so glad that she stayed on the email list. I mean, what are the chances that after all of that, Travis moves, you know, to the same town as me, small world. And then right at the time when I am looking for a part-time job, you all happen to be looking for someone. And because my wife stayed on the email list, she got the email. And it's funny because I think you all had in the subject, we're hiring. So I said, oh, I guess you saw that. And she said, no, I didn't even read the subject. I just happened to scroll all the way to the bottom when it was mentioned in the email. So it's like, just so many things had to line up.
It was meant to be.
I guess so.
It was absolutely meant to be. And I feel like there's a listener on the other end of this podcast right now. And what you all shared today was absolutely meant to be. This could be the moment that changes someone's life. You know, you guys just shared a little bit about who you are, but so much of what you shared can really impact someone who is going through something right now, maybe having mental health issues, just recently suffered a miscarriage, and is just struggling with their student loan debt and trying to decide, like, what the heck do I do to figure this all out? We pride ourselves on just being human first at Student Loan Planner. And so as we wrap up this podcast, I want to let you know, like you said, Sim and James will be available for consultation soon. We still have Megan Landris, myself, Lauren Williams. Rob Burton is one of our OG student loan consultants right behind. Well, not right behind him, right ahead of him. Rob was the first hire for Student Loan Planner. Our fearless leader is Travis Hornsby. And then we also have Dan Rooker and Molly Lauder as well. So we are a party of eight ready to help you get your student loans in order. Don't be afraid to take the leap of faith. Jump on the calendar. We have much more availability now that there are eight of us. Yes, student loans will be coming back into play for all of you with federal loans in May. So get ready, get a plan in place. We're standing by to help you do it. This has been another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I'm Lauren Williams, and we'll see you next time.